Obviously, as we know, we began to recite the Slichos last night, and that should propel all of us to start beginning to think about tshuva a little bit more seriously. With only 3 days left to Rosh Hashanah, we certainly have not run out of time, but we are running out of time. So we need to do our best to make sure to take best advantage of these next couple of days before Rosh Hashanah. I'd like to begin with a comment that Rav Soloveitchik made, and it very much describes the human experience that we live through. So he writes, as you all have on your sheets, man as seen by Judaism is potentially a good progressive being. Right? We are potentially pretty good people. We all want to be good people. However, man often finds himself in the grip of an overwhelming, irresistible force that pulls him downward. And I'm sure many of us have had this feeling that we want to do the right thing. We feel that we should be doing the right thing. We know what the right thing is to do, but there's just such a force pushing us in the other direction. The ascent up to the mountain of the Lord often turns into a rapid descent down the mountain. Man moves toward the fulfillment of his destiny along a zigzag line, progress frequently superseded by retrogression, closeness to God by the dark night of separation. Sometimes we have this tension inside of ourselves. We don't know which way we're going. We want to be pulled toward Him. Mashcheni acharecha narutza. I want to be someone who is closer and more understanding of God, but so often it goes in the other direction. Man not only rises, but falls as well. But then he rises again from this fall, only to fall once more. We fail ourselves time and again. We make poor choices so many times throughout the course of the year. Moral erring and culpability are interwoven into our very existential fabric. No man can claim that he is perfect, that his existential experience has been purged of all selfish, undignified, brutish motifs. In a word, the Bible is confident of man, but is also very suspicious of him. Because we all have a complicated life. And we all have what we call bechira chafshis. We all have the ability to make our own decisions and to make our own choices. And that's where life gets very complicated. But that's the way we were all created. And that's the way life was set up for us to be living. Great is not the man who has never faltered, but the man who tripped, fell, and rose again to greater heights, which is describing all of us. We can call ourselves Balei Tshuva, that we go through the experience of life and we go through the experience of our year, and we fall and we trip and we make mistakes and we hurt our spiritual selves, but we rise again to greater heights. If a man is not conscious of the contradiction inherent in the very core of his personality, he lives in the world of illusion. If there's anybody who feels that going through this period of the year, there is nothing that needs to be worked on. Everything in the past year was just perfect. Every time God asked me to do something, I came through on my promise. Then Rav Soloveitchik writes, he or she is living in the world of illusion. Because that's not life. And we know that that is not life. I saw that one of the great Hasidic Rebbes on the night of Rosh Hashanah, I don't remember which one it was said about, but it could have been said about all of them. So it says that on the night of Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, some have the minhag that they say, one of the piyutim that they say is, L'David Mizmar, L'Hashem Ha'aretz Imlo Tevel V'Yoshveva. We talk about HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we talk about many descriptions that the Psukim and Tehillim give about His Majesty, His grandeur. And it is told over that this great Rebbe was sitting and reciting it one pasuk at a time with the congregation, with the tzibur. And when they got up to the pasuk, Asher lo nasa l'ashav nafshi v'lo nishba l'mirma, when he got up to the pasuk about a person living life without ever swearing falsely, he began to cry uncontrollably. And there was somebody there who really couldn't understand. There are many parts of the davening that we relate to, that we know that we have shortcomings, we know we have failed, and those are parts of the davening that maybe we get emotionally attached to, but how many of us have sworn falsely over the past year? How many of us walk around life and just make shavuos that are simply not true, that are really not honest? And he went over, he approached the Rebbe, and he asked him afterward, why were you getting so choked up? Why were you so overwhelmed when you said this pasuk? And he said, because the Gemara tells us that when every individual person is created, God pulls that person aside with a malach and says, promise me that you're going to be a good person and that you're going to follow the trajectory of life that I set out for you. Promise me that that's what's going to happen. Tiyat tzaddik, says the Gemara. Promise me that you're going to live a life of righteousness. And this Hasidish Rebbe said, can anybody actually say with a straight face that they've come through on their promise? Can anybody say that God asked me to make a promise before I came onto this earth and I have been faithful to that promise? It's a difficult thing for us to be able to admit to. But he pointed out, this is something, unfortunately, everybody has violated. And this is the experience of man. At this point, the idea of tshuva emerges and conveys to man the message of catharsis. In what does that catharsis express itself? In the aptitude of man to take a critical look at himself and to admit failure. That is where tshuva begins. A person first has to admit failure. If we don't admit that there has been any failure, there's nothing to do any tshuva about. And Rav Soloveitchik writes, if we don't understand the inner tension that we live with, at every moment of life, there's always that tension pulling us in different directions. And very often, the negative tension is what outweighs the positive. And if we can't understand that, if we can't be honest enough and say, "Velo nishba lemirma," that we have not been faithful to God, that we have not been truthful, we have not been honest in our promise to Him, we have not come through, then says Rav Soloveitchik, the tshuva process can never get started. In the aptitude of man to take a critical look at himself, to admit to failure, in the courage to confess, yes, it takes tremendous courage for a person to be able to say, I made a mistake, not just before God. It takes tremendous courage to say that in front of anyone. The Gemara tells us Yehuda was given so many accolades because he had the courage to stand up and say, I made a mistake, by the story of Yehuda and Tamar. I made a mistake. It's not an easy thing for a person to do, and certainly not before God, who knows all of our shortcomings. To plead guilty in the readiness to accept defeat. To recite vidui, a confession, is the greatest of all virtues, the most heroic act. It is catharsis par excellence. And I think here is a description of what the human experience is all year, and how it's supposed to reflect itself in this time of year, during the season of Chodesh Elul, during the time of the Yemei HaRachamim VeHaSlichos, during the time when God gives us the opportunity to have that confession, to have that opportunity to communicate with Him how much we feel about the negative choices we have made throughout the past year. So Elul, as we know, is the time which is referred to as Yemei HaRachamim VeHaSlichos. Elul, as we know, is really a 40-day period that begins with Rosh Chodesh Elul and culminates in Yom HaKippurim. Yom Kippur, as we know, is Ketz Mechila Uslicha. That is the day when all of the Jewish people are granted their ultimate kapara, their ultimate purity. They're given their sanctity back if they go through the process properly. I don't believe that it's coincidental that in so many places throughout halacha and in Jewish thought, in machshava, you find that the number 40 is something that is a very consequential number. It's a recurrent theme. So we find, just to give a few examples, but there are so many. Moshe Rabbeinu, when he goes up to Har Sinai to accept the Torah, as we know, he is there, Arba'im Yom V'Arba'im Laila. Moshe Rabbeinu stays on the mountain for a duration of 40 days and 40 nights. We know much earlier in Chumash, when the Mabul comes to destroy the world, HaMabul Haya Al Ha'aretz Arba'im Yom. We know that the Mabul was raining on the land, destroying it for 40 days. In Meseches Nida, the Gemara tells us that until 40 days, when a child is in utero, we don't assume that that child is really a child yet. It is only after 40 days that we assume the child is now considered to be its own entity. Again, this idea of 40 days. The Navi Yonah, as we'll read on Yom Kippur, when he comes to warn the city of Nineveh about what is going to come to them if they don't heed the word of God, if they don't go through the tshuva process, the Navi tells us, in another 40 days, the city will be destroyed. We find that a person who does something wrong, the punishment that the Torah issues such an individual is Arba'im Yakenu, 40 lashes. We know that a person who has some sort of spiritual impurity has to go to the mikvah in Arba'im Sa. in 40 measures of water. And finally we find that the Jewish people were traveling through the desert as they were on their way to enter the land of Eretz Yisrael for Arba'im Shana. What is this all about? And why is it that we find here by Chodesh Elul that we have a 40-day period once again leading in to Yom HaKippurim? Some of Farshim explain, I once saw, that obviously it seems clear that 40 days is the time that is necessary to destroy, to eradicate something that was. Like we find by the Mabul, like we find by Malchus, somebody has made a terrible mistake, somebody has defied the word of God. Somebody needs to be hit 40 times in order to get rid of that old self. Somebody who has some sort of spiritual impurity must go into a mikveh of 40 sa'ah to recreate themselves, to get rid of their past and now start over again. And we find that the Gemara tells us that 40 days is the time necessary for a child in utero to be considered its own entity, because 40 days is the time to recreate something. 40 days is the time that we can have a complete overhaul of what was and a renewal, a metamorphosis to become something that will be in the future. And that's what this period of time, Chodesh Elul, leading into Yom HaKippurim, gives us the opportunity to do. To take all that was and to completely eradicate it, to destroy it, to say that this is not who I am any longer, and to completely transform ourselves to begin anew. And renew our lives and say, we want a different life. We want once again to be connected with you. I was thinking this week, trying to prepare some drushas for Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. I don't know about everyone else, but for me personally, it's hard to prepare them. Doesn't come easy to me. And I was thinking a lot about the Avinu Malkeinus that we recite. And I thought, perhaps one of the Avinu Malkeinus that we say is Na al tishivenu rekam milfanecha. Simple understanding, I think it means. We ask you, God, not to turn our prayers away. Don't close your ears, so to speak, to the prayers of the Jewish people. Don't send them back empty. And I was thinking, maybe there's an added level of meaning. I don't know if it's correct or not. But maybe it also means Na al tishivenu rekam milfanecha. Don't allow us to walk away from this experience of connecting with you over this 40-day period empty. How many people will walk away from this period of the year, of the Yomim HaNoraim season, and walk away with absolutely nothing? How many people will go through a slichos and wake up early every morning or every night and walk away with nothing and just turn the pages? Missing the fact that this is such an opportunity. Missing the reality that this is an opportunity to connect with God and to recreate ourselves. He gives us that chance, as we'll see in the next couple of minutes. It's an opportune time. And perhaps what we ask God for is, Na'al tishivenu rekam milfanecha. Don't allow us to walk away from this experience empty as we were before. We can go through powerful moments in our lives. And how many people can walk away from such a moment with nothing? And that's something to think about. That we have an opportunity to do something special. We have an opportunity to make such a transformative period of time of our lives at this period of the year, to make a complete revolution and to transform ourselves. But how many people will walk away from this experience without even tapping into any of that? And as we begin the recital of Slichos, it is my hope, it is our tefillah. Na'al tishivenu rekam milfanecha. If we haven't at least taken advantage from the beginning of Chodesh Elul and started the process of tshuva, we ask God, don't allow us to walk away. It's 4 days before Rosh Hashanah, 3 days before Rosh Hashanah. Allow us to take something out of the experience. Allow us to connect. Help us to make a feeling, to make a meaningful connection with you, to have something of this period of year that is going to be so meaningful and so powerful. And that's what tshuva gives us the opportunity to do. You look at the Shem Yishmuel, which is number Aleph on the sheet, where the Shem Yishmuel writes in the name of Rab Simcha Buna Mipshischa. And the Shem Yishmuel lived in the 1800s. He passed away in 1926. He was the son of the Avnei Nezer. The Avnei Nezer was the undisputed Gadol Ador in Europe before the Holocaust. And the Shem Yishmuel writes the following. Tshuva einanu taloi. He says, Rab Simcha Buna Mipshischa once said that tshuva is not a band-aid. Tshuva is not a patch. And he says people misunderstand what tshuva really is. Ella, rather, what is it? Ka'adam shanafel min hagag v'nishtabru kol atzmosav. It's like a person who falls off a roof and breaks every bone in their body. What does that mean? Upe Rashnu says the Shem Yishmuel, what it means is the following. Tshuva einanu kamo taloi ala beged. A person has a new pair of pants. A person has a new article of clothing. And you trip and you get a hole in it. So you go to the seamstress and they sew it up for you. You get a patch. The article of clothing is the same article of clothing that it always was. Now it just has an extra piece of cloth on it to cover over the hole. However, he says, tshuva einanu kamo taloi ala beged. Tshuva is not like a patch when an article of clothing gets a hole in it. Shenishar ala beged shmo harishom. When you have a patch, it means the pants remain the same pair of pants. Ela shenasa masuka. Now you just fix them up. Tshuva einanu kein. That's not what tshuva is. Ela yia kekatan shenolad umascha meichadosh. Tshuva is the experience of that article of clothing that gets ripped into shreds and it cannot be salvaged, it cannot be saved. You dispose of it and we'll start all over again. That's what tshuva is. V'hayamim harishonim yiplu, the original life that you lived, the mistakes that all of us made, are not here. It's not the same article of clothing and we just patch it up. That's not what tshuva is. It's a mistake. It's so much more powerful than that. It's so much more potent than that. V'hainu hach, and that's what it means. She'amar, kimi she'nafal min agag she'nishtabru kol atzmosa v'lo nishar lo klum. Sometimes you have a person who gets into such a terrible accident that it's like almost every part of their body needs some sort of reconstructive surgery. They need a hip replacement and a knee replacement and everything and a transplant and an infusion. Everything. Everything needs to be redone. It's not that you just do a little surgery and close up a stitch somewhere where the body is open. It's like falling off the roof and every bone in that body is broken. But it gives the opportunity to be recreated. That's what tshuva is. And writes the Shem Yishmuel, we misunderstand and we don't properly evaluate how powerful the tshuva process really could be. It is not just a patch, it is not just a band-aid. The tshuva process is really the opportunity for a person to fall off a roof, figuratively, and to be completely recreated through all the surgeries. Lahaschal mechadosh legamri. Vitzarech liyischazek mechadosh leavoda. The Rambam, when he delineates the process of tshuva, the Rambam is in Hilchos Tshuva Perek Beis, where he goes through what exactly the tshuva process is really supposed to be. So he begins the paragraph, he begins the chapter by saying, Ezohi tshuva gemura. What exactly is the proper way to do tshuva? What is that supposed to look like? So he says you have a person who had some sort of issue in the past, and now they come to the same circumstance, and they don't allow themselves to fall prey to that inclination. So the Rambam gives all kinds of examples to what exactly that means. Umahi atshuva, and then he writes, and what exactly is tshuva? And he writes, sheyazav achote cheto, that a person should leave that mistake behind and say, I will not do it again. Let us look at the Rambam, where the Rambam then goes into further detail about what exactly tshuva is supposed to mean to all of us. Writes the Rambam on the bottom of the page, Halacha Dalid, in the second chapter in Hilchos Tshuva. Midarkei HaTshuva, what exactly does tshuva mean? It is Lios Hashav, that the person who is repenting should be Tzoek Tamid Lefnei Hashem Bebechi Uvetachanunim. That a person should always find themselves in a state of crying, of supplication. Vo'oset Tzedakah Kifi Kocho. And obviously one should give more Tzedakah than they normally would. And you have to distance yourself from that experience of life. And here writes the Rambam a profound statement. Part of the tshuva process is one changes their name. Like sometimes you have
a relative or a friend who is critically ill. And the practice in so many Jewish communities is we do a Shinoi Hashem, we change their name. We ask God to look at them like they're a different person. Says the Rambam, tshuva is not just stepping away from those mistakes that we've made. Tshuva is not only going through the process, but part of that process also is Mishana Shmo. We actually change our names. Kelomar meaning to say, Ani Acher. I'm a different person. Ve'eni Osa Ha'ish Sha'asa Osan Ha'maisa. I am not that individual who did those terrible things. Like we said from the Shem Yishmuel, this is not a band-aid, it is not a patch. It is a complete recreation of ourselves. We want to recreate everything that we were, just in a different way. And the Rambam says, Mishana Shmo, we need to change our names because we need to look at ourselves like we are completely different individuals than we once were. We are not the same old people that we once were. One of the introductory lines that we mention every day in the Slichos. Before we say the Yud Gimel Midos, we say, Misnaheg b'chassidus, mochel avonos ama. We say that God leads our lives with kindness and compassion, with mercy and unbelievable benevolence, in the fact that He is mochel avonos ama, in the fact that He accepts the possibility of our tshuva. And the Yerushalmi wonders about what exactly that means. Look at the Yerushalmi number Dalet, the second column. Shalu l'chachma, there was a major discussion in heaven. What happens, what should happen to a person who violates an avera? What happens to a person who makes a mistake? What should be the punishment? So the Yerushalmi writes, Shalu l'chachma, chote mahu ancho. It was asked in heaven to chachma, to wisdom, what should be the punishment for somebody who violates the word of God? Amru lahem, the response was, Chataim tirdof ra. You've done something wrong, we'll make you worse. You deserve it. Shalul nevuah, they went and they had a philosophical discussion with prophecy. And they asked, Chote mahu onsho, what should be the punishment for somebody who has done something wrong? Amru lahem, Hanefesh hachotaz hitamus. One who does something wrong should lose his life. What's the question? God gives you the rule book. You don't follow it. You don't deserve life. Period. Makes sense. It's like, you know, somebody once told me in the name of Rav Shach that Rav Shach's wife bought a blender when they first came out. And the blender has a very sharp blade. So she was sitting there before she used it and reading the instructions, as any person should do before using something like that. And Rav Shach was watching that and he said to his wife, this is the understanding in that Yerushalmi. God gives you the real book. God tells you how to use the blender. It's a sharp blade. God tells you the rules. You happen not to read them? So let's say you have somebody who buys that machine, said Rav Shach, and they don't choose to read the instructions. And they decide to stick a part of their body, God forbid, into the machine while it's going. Can they say, oh, I made a mistake. I didn't read the instructions. I didn't realize that fingers get cut off in a blender. Well, that's too bad. It's too late. What can you do now? And says the Yerushalmi, that's really the way our world should have run. Our world should have been that way. God gave us the rule book. He told us very explicitly how to live life. And we throw up our hands and we say, sorry, I forgot to read the rules. I didn't realize. Well, that's too bad. And that's what the philosopher said. Hanefesh achotas hitamus. It makes sense. It's not a punishment. That's the reality. That's what happens. You don't read the rules, there's going to be a consequence. Something's going to happen. As much as he didn't want it. And finally, Shalu l'kudsha b'richu, as much as all of this makes sense, they finally approach God and they ask Him, Chote mahu onsho.
What should be the predicament of a person who violates your word? And the answer was, God says, all of you are wrong. All of you philosophers who are trying to figure out this issue, you all got it wrong. And the answer is, Amar Lahem, God says, Yasu tshuva v'yiskaperlo. It's as simple as that. We don't take away people's lives. We don't try to scare them. Yasu tshuva v'yiskaperlo, there's a formula. And it's very easy. Just go through the steps of repentance. Go through the steps of tshuva that the Torah spells out for us. And you will gain my acceptance. Again, once again, God says. That's what tshuva is all about. That's what we mean when we say, Misnahig b'chassidus. It defies the rule of nature. That's not the way life should have been. Life really logically should have been. You don't read the rules. There are consequences that happen. That's the reality. But that's not God's perspective. God is misnahig b'chassidus. He is so merciful. He is so compassionate. He is so caring. He is so dedicating. He is so willing to accept us again. Look at the Mesilas Yesharim of the Ramchal in the 1700s, one of the most important svarim on Hashkafa, on Jewish philosophy and Jewish thought. The Ramchal writes, Vaday midas harachamim hi kiyuma shel olam. The only reason why we have an existence in this world, the only reason why we have the ability to continue to live on in this world is because of midas harachamim. Because of God's mercy, because of His compassion. Shelo haya omed zulaso klal uklal. Without it, nobody would be able to withstand. Nobody would be able to prevail. Ki lefi shuras hadin mamish, haya roi shachote ye'anish miyad. It would make sense, as we mentioned, that one who does something wrong should be destroyed, should be eradicated immediately. Tekev lechato beli hamtana klal. You shouldn't even get 5 seconds. It's like being struck with lightning. You were outside when you shouldn't have been. There was a lightning thunderstorm outside. Don't you know the rules? You go inside the house, you don't stand next to the electric pole. Well, that's what should have happened, writes the Mesilas Yesharim, based on all natural and conceivable understandings. Vegam, and also he writes, Sha'onesh atzma yiyah b'charonaf. It should be with a fury. Karoy l'misha mamrei pi habari yisbarach shemo, as would be expected for someone who defies the word of a very important person. V'shelo yiyah tikun l'chet klal. It would make sense that there is no way to undo that which was done. Ki hinei be'emes. He says in truth, Eich yisaken ha'adam es asher ives v'hachet kvar nasa. How can I undo something that was done? Harei sharatza ha'adam es chaveira. Heaven forbid, a God would find someone who has murdered another person. Someone, God forbid, gets in a terrible car accident. Someone was running across the street. You were texting. You were doing something you shouldn't have been doing. Person loses their life. And you stand over that body and you say, I wish that wouldn't have happened. I didn't want to do something like that. I'm not a murderer. There's no way of undoing that. You can't bring the person back to life. Writes the Mesilas Yesharim, why is that any different than anything else we do in our lives? Your Mechal Shabbos. It happened. It's too late now. What does it help that you feel bad? It's like standing over the dead body and crying over the fact that you just murdered the person. What does it help? The family member or the friend or the community member is gone. There's nothing to do about it now. Writes the Mesilas Yesharim, that's the way we should think about everything we do wrong. That's the way the world should have ran, lefi shuras hadin. Based on any conventional understanding, that would make sense. However, look at the next paragraph, amnam, midas harachamim hi hanosenes, when we have God running His world with rachamim. It gives us the opportunity of living life, heifach hashlosh advarim shezacharnu. It gives us the opportunity to have a very different life than what would logically make sense for our lives to be. Dahainu, and that means Sheyite Zman Lachote, number one. God gives a chance. God gives time for the person. It's not like being struck by lightning. It's not the way life works. You do something wrong, but God understands that life is a process. God is willing to forgive because He says, you'll mature, you'll develop, you'll come to your senses, and I'll wait for you. You won't lose your life immediately. That's not the way we run this world, God says. V'lo yichached min ha'aretz miyad kishachote. One never has to be afraid that God will come and zap them. You know, sometimes young children think, if they turn on a light on Shabbos, it's like lightning is going to come through the house and kill them. The religion is not meant to be scary. It's not the relationship we have with God. It's one of rachmanas. Lefi shuras hadin, that's the way the world should have run, but it's not. That's not the lives that we live, and that's not the relationship God wants us to have. V'atshuva tinasein lechotim echesed gomer, and God gives us the opportunity to come back to Him and to somehow undo that which was done, although it doesn't really make any logical sense. He gives us the opportunity to come back to Him b'chesed gamur. Shetechashev akiros haratzon ka'akiros ha'maisa. It's almost as crazy as standing over the dead body and wishing that what happened didn't happen. That's what we do. But God actually accepts it. God allows for that. Dahainu shebeyos hashav makiros cheto. When a person is willing to submit themselves and admit that they made a mistake, umodebo, umispone naraoso, and thinks carefully and critically about what they have done wrong, vishavu mischarid alav charata gemura meikara, haavon sar mamish mehametzius. God looks at it as if that person was never killed. You didn't run them over. God looks like that Shabbos was not violated. God looks like that lashon hara was not spoken. God thinks about all of the mistakes that we made, and He says it's as if they didn't happen. We're going to start all over. Because tshuva gives us the opportunity to completely recreate ourselves. And that is the chesed elyon, that is the incredible gift that we have at this period of year. Dirshu Hashem Behi Matzah, the Pasuk says, at this time of year, God is closer to us than at any other time of year. And He gives us the opportunity to feel His presence, to feel His potency, and to understand that if only we are willing to submit ourselves, if only we are willing to be honest and humble enough to accept that gift, there is so much that we have the opportunity to do in this time of year. There's an unbelievable mashal that I saw, and it's something that gives meaning, or it should give meaning, to a part of the davening that I think to many of us does not have meaning. So there are many parts of davening on Rosh Hashanah that, for me at least, don't speak to me so much. I don't really know how to connect with some parts of the davening, because I don't know if I don't understand the words properly, but this really gave meaning to something that I never thought about before at all. We say in our davening, Zeh hayom tchilas ma'asecha. Today is the day, Rosh Hashanah is the day of tchilas ma'asecha. Today is the day when everything began. Today is the day that the world was created. I was never so moved by those words. It's a historical fact. Today was the day that the world was created. So we mention it. But listen to a mashal that gives us a powerful insight into what exactly it means. Zeh hayom tchilas ma'asecha. Look at the number Vav on the bottom of the page. Hadvarim yizbaru heitiv al pi mashal. La'adam sha'ilo mif'al gadol, a person, a very wealthy individual, has a big factory. Asher halach v'shikshek, it's doing very well. Asher kana la'atzmo shem olami. He has international acclaim. Everybody's coming. Everybody's ordering online. Everybody wants his product. Miyom liyom, every day, gadova halach mispar ha'hazmanos, every day he has more orders coming in. Sheyigio mikol katzvei tevel, they're coming from all over the world. Bizchus Hashem hatov sheyatza letotzaros, because he has such a good name about the product that he's creating. Uviglal, and also because of the sheiris hayoyel v'hamehaymen, because he has an unbelievable customer service. You call, we'll process the order immediately, it will be shipped out, you'll have it within the week. Everybody loves that. Everybody wants good customer service, and everyone wants a good product. La'achar shanim achados, after a couple of years of great success, hechelu la'agia tulunos, lukuchos mimekomo shanim ba'olam. All of a sudden, he starts looking through the emails, and he sees the complaint department is growing. And he sees that he's getting emails, he's flooded with emails, that people are unhappy with the product. Hebiyo b'drachim shonos, and they are expressing in many different ways, es is vias ritzona mitiv haschara, they're unhappy with the product that's being sold. Ukemokein, and also hislonenu al iamida beluach hazmanim, they're upset. You publicize that you're open from this time to that time every day. How could it be? We've called on many occasions, and nobody answered the phone. They put us on hold, and then they don't get back to us. What's going on? What's with the customer service? Ma kara lachem shal halakuchos. The consumers want to know, what happened to this company? You had so many years of success and so many years of servicing the customers the way you should have, and all of a sudden, it's all gone. B'machsanei ha-mifal nermu arimo shaschora puguma shehuchzeru. In the warehouses, they found there were hundreds of items that were returned. People just were unhappy. People didn't like the merchandise. V'yigyu advar mad kedei kach. Turns out, shechelek gadol mehalakuchos hechelek noschora etzel chevros mitcheros. Many people started to go to the competition. Who wants to buy such a product where so many of them are faulty, where the customer service is awful, where hundreds of them have been returned? Kasher bala mifal nochach ladas, when the owner of this company finds out, shaharavachim yardu palaim, he sees that everything is plummeting, he sees his whole company is being destroyed. Hechlid al hakamas vados mumchim, he decides he has to do an investigation. He hires an outside company, and he asked them to investigate every part of this company, every part of his product, and find out where the problem is. V'chakav yisodiyas l'kuchos parlim in hali avodi, he says, I want you to go to the managers, I want you to go to every last worker in the place, I want you to go to every customer that we had, and I want you to figure out what exactly is the problem, what's going wrong? We have such an amazing company, what took place? Chevri havada gamsiru b'mefal atzmo, this committee, this company goes through and starts looking not only at the individuals, but they start looking at the machinery, kidei lama mikrov, in order to have an insider perspective, al matzav ha-machonos, to see what's going on. Maybe the machinery is faulty. Charitzos ha-polem, they want to see maybe the workers aren't working the way they should. U'mesiras min halei ha-machlakot ha-toshonot, they want to look at all of the executives to see how they're doing their jobs. And they go and they're going and scouring the entire company top to bottom. Next paragraph, Bala Mifal Kara Es Adoch B'Yun Rav. He reads the investigative report after they're finished, many months, Minidham, and he is appalled. Lim Tzobo, to find Dvarim Shelo Hela Klal Al Daitu. He is unbelievably shocked to find that which he never expected. His barer, it turns out, Shehakol Hischil Merashlanus Poshas Umaila B'Imun Shel Chavrei Ha'anala. There is nothing wrong at all with the machinery. There is nothing wrong at all with anything that is set up in the factory. The problem is the workers are lazy. The workers are slacking off. B'makom lidog l'tafkudo hatov ha'yoyel shel ha'mifal l'kidumo. Instead of making sure that the factory is running properly the way it should, hein dagu rak li'atzmam, they're busy worrying about themselves and their families. Chelek nikar me'aravachim heim shilshulu l'kisam. They've been all pocketing money, all of the executives. They have not really written down, they have not checked in whether or not they're allowed to take this bonus or this raise. They just walked off with it at certain times in the year. They've taken many trips with their entire extended families all over the world. And they put it in the guise of the fact that they're traveling on the company's expense because they have a meeting somewhere. Turns out there was no meeting. Turns out there was no excuse for the trip. So they took off weeks of work to go to some far out country somewhere with their entire families as a business expense. And meanwhile, the whole thing was dishonest. Hisna gusam, look at the next paragraph. Hisna gusam haklokela shel haminalim. And the way that the executives were acting trickle down. Hishpia gamal shara ovdim. It trickled down to all the workers in the company. When you see that the executive is not showing up to work, when you see that he's pocketing money and not taking his job seriously, so everybody else involved in the company seems to be doing the same thing. Musar ha'avoda, the ethical, what do you call that? I went to sleep at 4:30 last night. It's a little exhausting. The ethics of the company, I guess. Nasi Yerud Ma'od, it just plummeted. Everything was going downhill. Po'alim Nedru Me'avoda Yomim Shleimim. People weren't showing up to work at all. Gam Yomim Shabo La'avoda, even when they did show up, Ha'yamagiyim Bi'ichur, they came late. Everybody's strolling in with the coffee, getting together to have a donut. Nobody's worried about the fact that we have a company to run. We have customers who are calling. We have orders to fill. Hamachonos lo tuplu kayeus, the machinery is not being oiled the way it should be. Atcher Abosmam Yatsu Michlal Pa'ula, so many of them can't even be used anymore. And he says, nobody is paying attention. Amnam, he says, Nimtu Povisham, here and there we find Paulim Bodidim Asher Asim Malachtam Be'emuna. Here and there you have the one person who's doing his job the way he should. He's actually showing up on time and doing the right thing. Acha Yuzochem Lekitonos Shalag Uvuz Mitzad Shara Ovdim. And they're sitting and showing up on time every day and everyone's making fun of them. What are you guys taking the job so seriously? Look at your employers. Look at the ones on top of you. No one cares. What are you showing up on time? What are you working so hard? Just take it easy. Balim Ifal, the owner of the company, decides, Hasik Miyades Maskanos HaMizbakshos. He makes decisions immediately when he reads this report. Hodia Al Skiras HaMifal, he decides, we got to shut down the company. Uboba Yam Nishlechu Mechtave Piturim Lechol Alfei HaOvdim. He sends out thousands of pink slips that day. He says, I want everyone to know, the company is shutting down, you're all fired, we're not having a company anymore. B'makbil, at the same time, Hodia Bala Mifal, Gama Psichas Mifal HaChadosh. So he shuts down his company, and in the same day he also writes a letter that I'd like everyone to know that we're opening another company as well at the same time. And this other company is going to make the same product. We're going to start all over. Yom Echad Achas Gira, so it's going to open the next day after I shut down this one. We're going to do a complete clear out. We're going to clean house. Then we're going to start all over. B'derech Zeh, in this way, Hivtiach La'atzmo Chofesh Pu'ula. He says, this is a good way to get rid of all my workers. I just claim that the company doesn't exist anymore. I get rid of everybody. Then I open in another name. We've heard of such things before, I assume. B'yecholas Limnos Bale Tafkinim B'mifkal Lefi Ra'oseinam. Now he says, I'm going to start all over and I'm going to choose who really belongs in that executive position. I'm going to choose who really belongs doing the work in my company. Next paragraph. Hamenalim Hamishchasim B'vadei Lo Yekablo Drisas Regal B'mifal HaChadash. Obviously, the executives that cheated him, that took advantage of him for all these years and destroyed his company, are not getting near this new company that he's building. Who's going to take those positions? The ones who were faithful and loyal to him throughout, when everyone was making fun of them, but they were showing up on time to work. Those are the ones that are going to take over. He's going to give them a raise and a bonus. He's going to give them insurance. He's going to give them everything. Kipras al ha'avar, as a gift for their faithfulness, for their belief in him, all along. Uveikar, and the truth is, he does it kedei sheyilchlu lemalei tafkidem karay ba'asid. Shar pro'alim, he says, the rest of the workers who are somewhere in the middle, they're going to have to prove to me in a real way that they belong in this new company. They're going to have to prove to me that they're willing to really take the job seriously. And he writes, Hanimshal, the next paragraph, Hamif'al hu olamo shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This company is God's world that we all live in. Hamenahel es hakol v'kulanu avadav. God is the owner of the company. We all work for him. And he wants a certain product. And he expects it. Kol echad ve'echad me'itanu hu pol b'mif'al. Each and every one of us is an individual who works in this company. The job that we're given is to create a product. That product is to be marbe kavod shamayim. That product is to raise awareness of God's presence in this world and to make Him proud and to make His name be blessed by others. Each person has that obligation to bring glory to God's name in their various positions, whatever it is that you might do. There's nothing to do with being a rabbi. People think it's the rabbi's job to bring honor to God's name. It's not. It's everyone's job. Someone told me yesterday that Rabbi Weinberger from Eish Kodesh spoke on they have a Chai Lifeline, Chizuk Hotline for parents who lost children, Rachmana Litzlan. So every week they have a different person who speaks. So Rabbi Weinberger spoke last week. Somebody sent it to me. And he said such a simple but such a powerful point. He said, why is it on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur that the Chazan, when we begin Shacharis, the Chazan says Hamelech from his seat. which is very unusual. Then he has to start scurrying through the shul to get to the front. Why does he do that? And he suggested that perhaps the reason why is because the job on Rosh Hashanah is to be able to proclaim HaMelech from wherever you are, from your seat, from your place in life, from whatever circumstance God put you in. Your job on Rosh Hashanah is to recognize HaMelech from where you are. It's not the rabbi's job. It's every person's job to be Marbe Kvod Shamayim, to make God an overwhelming presence in your life, is an individual obligation that every person in this world has. To feel HaMelech from your seat, not from the Chazan's seat, from your seat, from your circumstances, from your challenges, from your problems, from your lack of clarity, from your issues. That's the job of this period of year. And that's the job that we have at every moment of our lives. Rosh Hashanah hu Yom Haras Olam. Rosh Hashanah, as we know, is the day when the world was created. Bo Nivra Adam, that's when man was created. Umeyaz Haya Hashem Melech Ba'olamo, that's when God began to be the master of the universe. Ma'agel Hashanah Machziro Tana B'chol Shanah, the circle of life returns us every year to the same place. El Oso Yom Shenemar Alav B'tfilas Musaf Sh'Rosh Hashanah, it brings us back to the words that we say in Musaf and Rosh Hashanah, Zehayom Tchilas Ma'asecha, this is the beginning of our world. Kalomar, b'chol shana, every year, soger HaKadosh Baruch Hu es mifalo. God says, I'm angry at the product. I'm not satisfied at the product that was so successful. And he says, I'm closing the company because I'm angry at all those executives who took for themselves. Zehayom Tchilas Ma'asecha means God is reopening the company anew on Rosh Hashanah. HaPoalim She'imatzu Ne'emanim U'Mesurim, those who are sincere, those who are faithful and loyal to God, Yiskablu Beratzon L'Mifal HaChadash, they will be invited to have a place in this new company, to have a position. Va'af yo'olu b'darga l'v'yikablu t'noyim tovim yoter. God's going to give you the insurance, He's going to give you all the benefits, He's going to give you everything. Ela asher lo malu es tafkidam karoi, those who were so unfaithful, yo'avru l'tafkidam acherim. Maybe God has something else for you to do. Maybe you're not going to have the job that you had this past year because it just didn't work. Maybe you're not going to have the success that God blessed you with this past year, because you see, God gave it to us, and what did we do with it? We didn't create the product that was expected to come out from this year that He gave us. Misha bagad umal b'tafkido. He or she who was so unfaithful and was so disloyal, yusulak min ha'olam, God says, I'm sorry. You cannot be a part of the new enterprise, of the new company. It just doesn't make sense for me to accept you. How did you do this to me? And that's what it means, perhaps. Barash Hashanah, next paragraph, Nitenes lechalechad hizdamnus miyuchedes lekras psichas hamifal mechadash. When Rosh Hashanah comes, we have the opportunity to write for ourselves what kind of position we want to have in this new company, in God's new world. This is the day that God is going to give out the jobs for the coming year. What are you going to be this year? What life are you going to live this year? God passes all of us, all the candidates, in front of Him, one at a time, and He says, well, let's see whether you have the ability to be a faithful servant, to be a faithful worker, to be a true employee. Because we're going to start everything anew, and I'm going to figure out whether or not you belong in the new company. And here is the opportunity that we're given. It's such a chesed elyon. It's such an unbelievable kindness that God gives us this chance to come and ask Him to have a job in His new company. We know that we don't deserve it. But it's mistahig b'chassidus.
Mochel avonos amo.
God in his ultimate kindness gives us that chance, gives us that opportunity to repent and to show him with sincerity that we will be faithful if he just gives us the opportunity to have another year of successful life.
Reb Simcha Buna Mipshischa, we mentioned before, made a very insightful comment that tshuva is not just a patch, tshuva is not just a band-aid. But he made another comment. He says, Ashmasu shela adam.
A person's mistake is not eina bazeh shehu chote. It is not on the fact that he does an aveira, that he makes a mistake. Everybody makes a mistake. There is no one other main tzadik baretz asher yaseh tov v'lo yechta. There is no one who can live life without making mistakes. Nisyono gadol, we all have terrible challenges. We all have an inclination that pushes us in a different direction. V'kocho efes, look, how much strength do I have already? How much can I fight? How much can I withstand? Ashmasohi, writes Rab Simcha Buna Mipshischa, listen carefully, Ashmasohi. God's claim against all of us is not in the fact that we make mistakes. He created us, he knows we make mistakes, and he's willing to accept it. Ashmasohi, he writes, what is God's claim against us? She'eino osa tshuva. You made a mistake, I created you that way, I knew you were going to make a mistake. And it happens to all of us, we're all human beings, we can't be perfect. We all make wrong choices, and sometimes they're terribly wrong choices. And we really anger God. But it's okay. You know when he gets angry at us? For real? When we don't understand, when we don't appreciate the gift of tshuva. When we don't allow ourselves to accept the gift that he's throwing at us. And that's something we have the opportunity to do every moment of life, but certainly at this time of year. In the Sefer Sipuri Chasidim, Rav Zevin writes, in the name of the Divrei Chaim, he says, Kishah Yisit Sa'ir, when I was younger, the Divrei Chaim writes, he was the great Hasidish Rebbe, he was the first Rebbe of the Sanz Klausenberger dynasty. He says, when I was younger, Chashavti, I thought, I was so ambitious, I was so determined. Chashavti, I thought, She'atzliach lahachzir lamutav eskala olam kulo, I thought I would have the ability to change the entire world. You know, I'm still at that stage of life. Like my father calls it, the Messiah complex. When you're young, you have the opportunity to think like that. Naively, you think you're going to change the whole world. You want to have ambitions. You're enthusiastic. Before you become cynical. And before you realize that you just can't. And the Divrei Chaim wrote that that's the beginning of his life, started off that way also. So ambitious, so excited. He was going to change the whole world and make it a better place. He was going to eradicate all evil. He was going to teach people the way of life. Aval acharei mispar shanim, after a number of years, I matured a little bit. Umispar achzavos, after a number of disappointments that I tried, and I realized just wasn't happening. Higati lidei maskana, I came to the conclusion, ki mutav lazav es haolam, how about, forget about trying to change the world. It's not going to happen. Letapo rak ba'anshei kihilasi bilvad, take on your community and decide that you're going to make a meaningful difference in your own community. Forget about the rest of the world. It's not going to happen by you. You try to change your own community. You try to affect positively those who are living around you. Ulam, he writes, Gam bezos hitachzavti. I tried my best. I threw myself into communal work. I gave it my all and I was so enthusiastic and I was so excited. But then I was disappointed again. And I realized, doesn't look like I can change the community either. Viki Balti Allah, he says, I had to narrow it down again and I took upon myself, Lahachzu Lamutav as B'nai Besi. Let me forget about the world, let me forget about my community, it's just not working. Let me try to focus on my own family, I'm responsible for my own children. Let me try to focus on making them better people, the best they can be. Let me try to teach them the way of life. Let me try to give them the opportunity to be close to God. B'sofo shadavar, says the Divrei Chaim, I got older and I matured and I realized, in the end of the day, hechlatati la'azov hakol. Stop trying to focus on everybody else. Stop trying to pay attention to what everybody else is doing and change the way they do what they're doing. I decided as I got older, letapel bi uve'atzmi. Let me try to take a few moments to deal with myself. Some self-reflection. Let me try to figure out, am I really leading a meaningful life? Am I myself close to God the way I'm telling others to be? Is there anything special about the life that I'm living, leaving everybody else out of it? And he says, unfortunately, Ach gam bazos lo hitzlachti. How often do we try to change the world? Do we try to change our community? Do we try to change our family? And we forget. Just give a few minutes to try to change yourself. I was talking to a friend of mine the other day, and he told me that Rabbi Tzvi Hirsch Weinreb, apparently he said this publicly, so I have no problem sharing it. Rabbi Tzvi Hirsch Weinreb from the OU used to be a Rav in Baltimore, and he also had a private practice in psychology. And one time when he was in his mid-30s, he said he had some sort of very serious emuna issue, and he couldn't get it out of his head, and he didn't know exactly what to do. So somebody told him that the Lubavitcher Rebbe is a very insightful person who knows how to give great chizuk. Somebody told him he should call up the Lubavitcher Rebbe on the phone and maybe have a discussion with him. Maybe he can talk it through with you. So he had no relationship with the Lubavitcher Rebbe. He calls up the secretary one day and he says, I'm a Yid from Baltimore. I have no relationship with the Lubavitcher Rebbe at all. I just want you to know. Somebody advised me. I'm having a serious emuna problem. Somebody advised me I should call the Rebbe's office and I should speak to him. So the secretary sitting right next to the Lubavitcher Rebbe, he tells him there's a Yid from Baltimore on the phone. He says he has a major emuna problem. He'd like to talk to you. The Rebbe says, look, I'm happy to talk to him, but I've heard that there's a psychologist in Baltimore named Weinreb. Tell him maybe it's better you should first go to the psychologist, talk it out with him. If he still has a problem, let him come to me. So Rabbi Weinreb gets back on the phone and he says, this is Weinreb. The psychologist is on the phone. I'm having a problem. The Lubavitcher Rebbe took the phone back and he said to him, once in a while it's good for the psychologist to talk to himself also. Once in a while it's a good thing for you to talk to yourself also. That's an amazing story. Because how often are we busy being the psychologist for everybody else? Like the Divrei Chaim said. And trying to change the lives of everybody else. And never giving ourselves a moment to inspire ourselves. You're not going to change the world. How many people have the opportunity to change the world? So few. How many people are given the opportunity to change a community? How many people can say they have changed the lives of their children? Not everybody has that opportunity. But everybody has the chance to talk to themselves. Everybody has the opportunity to take life into their own hands and to say, I want this year to be a more meaningful one. I want this year to be one that is going to be more special than the one that was. I want God to give me a job this year that is one that He can trust in me. When He reopens the factory, Zeh Hayom Tchilas Ma'asecha, this is the day when the factory is being reopened. It's starting anew. And here is the opportunity that we all have to connect with Him in a very real way. That's what the period of year of Rosh Hashanah, of Yom Kippur, of Chodesh Elul gives us the chance to do. As we said, it's a 40-day period where we can have a complete metamorphosis. Like the Rambam says, I can say, Mishana Shmo, Ani Ish Acher. I'm a totally different person. I've taken advantage of this time of year. I've taken advantage of the gift of Misnayig Bachasidus, of the unbelievable, overwhelming benevolence of your kindness that you give me, like the Ramchal said, like the Mesilas Yesharim taught us. It makes no sense. It's like you've murdered someone and you cry over the dead body that you wish it didn't happen, but it did. It's like not reading the instruction manual before you use that machine that's dangerous. But yet God gives us the opportunity to do it regardless. God is misnahig v'chassidus. God gives us the chance to come back to Him and to make up for all of those terrible mistakes. Ki hu yada'is yitzro. Because God knows our evil inclination. God knows how challenging life is and how complicated it can be sometimes. God gives us the chance at this time of year, dirshu Hashem bihi matzo, to reconnect with Him in such a profound way. And all He wants is for us to stop thinking about everybody else. And just take a hold on our own lives. And take responsibility for the lives that we want to live. Write your own job description. Ask God for what it is that you'd like Him to see in you in this coming year. Promise Him that there's a way that you will make His name be more sanctified over the coming year. Promise Him that you will do something to show Him that the relationship is real and that it's meaningful and impactful to you. And with that, may we all be blessed with a Shana Tova Umesuka, Tikase V'Sichasem, B'Sifran Shel Tzadikim. May we all have the opportunity that God look at all of us with His mercy, with His kindness, and consider all of us as Tzadikim that will have the chance to be given one more, at least one more lease on life when this world is recreated this Rosh Hashanah. May He have the compassion to give all of us all that we ask for. V'yamaleh Hashem kol mishalos libeinu l'tova. Amen. V'chein yehi ratzon.